Three Sports Guns presents the Brushback Pitches, high and inside.
Usually a 90-mile-an-hour fastball thrown at the batter's head.
The three Gunthers ready to shoot off their opinions on everything sports. The Brushback Pitches.
It's the Brushback Pitches podcast presented by Three Sports Guns. It's you got this, Blair.
Harold.
In partnership with My Retro Radio. Taking our on-site producer, Rick Mason. Going to talk Purdue football, Chicago Bears, college football, NFL, baseball, all that, and answer some questions. Starting with the first question, Pops. At this point, is it more disappointing? I mean, obviously we don't care because they suck, but is it disappointing that at this point that Purdue's staff, including the new AD Babinski, after a 50-7 embarrassment isn't strong enough word against Maryland, that they just haven't fired him? Because if this was a series program, Hazel would have been gone yesterday. Well, Hazel would have been gone Friday, but 50-7, I mean, seriously?
Purdue doesn't do anything like this, Blair, because when LSU let Miles go, there's plenty of money down there to pay Les Miles off. Purdue acts like they're the Sisters of the Poor, you know, the church of we have no money.
Right.
And despite that $2 billion endowment, this athletic administration moves at a glacially slow pace. It's disappointing. I'm not surprised. You really shouldn't be surprised.
No, I mean, I don't expect him to get canned before the end of the season.
I don't know what. I saw read something somewhere that says that going forward that if Babinski needs any more, you know, insight or information or has he seen enough? I would like to think he's seen enough. Go back and take a look at this. I think they said Hazel's teams have gone up 50.6 times in the prior era from 1993 till Hazel came. It happened four times. You got brand new coordinators. Can you really tell? Do we have two new coordinators here at Purdue? I can't.
No,
it's
I mean,
same crap.
50 and embarrassment is a short enough word because I read a because I quit at halftime.
Joke.
I quit at halftime. They said up until Maryland cleaned out its benches in the fourth quarter, Purdue had -10 rushing yards against Maryland, who I think we can agree is middle of the pack, Division I at best.
I would suggest to you, Blair, that the players quit on them.
What
other explanation can you have for getting late? Look, Maryland's better than Purdue. True, 43
yes.
points. No.
No.
That's
no.
The players quit on him, which usually is the proverbial last straw. That's like trying to close the door after the cows have been out and have been milked. But that's what I suggest to you. The problem is the ridiculous salary that Hazel has. But it's got to the point, does that really matter now? I'm convinced I think he will be fired. I don't know how you can go
at the end of the season?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the end of the season.
Yeah.
I think it's the money, but I think he's gone.
Yeah,
the attendance at Ross State has been bad. It's going to continue to get worse. And I'm going to tell Purdue fans, no matter if you're an alumni or if you're paying all that money to John Purdue, you want to see some change, stop going to games.
So here's a question for you. Where are you even looking realistically for the next coach?
Anywhere.
Okay, yeah, that's helpful.
Okay,
realistically,
seriously, Art Briles. I'm taking a chance on Art Briles. If you're here to win, you're a power conference player. Art Briles, Les Miles, Scott Skiles.
Scott Skiles.
Anybody
the
named
basketball
Lyle.
Coach.
Look, I don't care because
Miles isn't going to come to Purdue. Briles maybe, but he'll. I mean, that's the Petrino thing that rebuilt
the
value.
Look, that's where I'm looking.
Realistically, where are you going to get a coach from? Is my question.
Art Briles would come because he needs to rehab his image. Now, want that?
I will make a pass. I don't see Purdue taking on that those headlines.
No, but I mean, it's got to be better than what you have now, which is just probably the worst football program in America, outside of what, Kansas?
I mean, I don't even know that, but yeah, it's down there.
They're in the top five, probably the top three.
It's really down there.
You nailed it 2 weeks ago, Blair. I was thinking about this yesterday driving around. Who could you get? Why would you come here?
I mean, seriously. Like,
why would you come here?
We talked about the North Dakota State joke that Hammer and Rails made. That's a Division II school. There's no reason for him to take the Purdue job. I'm sure they can find a better Division I job sometime down the road.
Do you think the university is really all invested in the football program?
No, they're looking at the dollars, which that's luckily why they're going to have to make a change, because since the program is so bad, despite all the Big Ten money, they're running a deficit. That's probably the only reason they're going to make a change.
Okay, but everybody's invested in for the money. The problem with Purdue is the administration doesn't want to spend the money to make the money. Now, I'm not an economics major, but I'm pretty sure I heard that and saw that in economics class. You have to spend money to make money, except Purdue doesn't believe that, which is the reason that where we're at right now. You've taken a mediocre football program, Daryl Hazel, and you've made it terrible.
Ran it.
Congratulations.
That's bad. We going to see a quarterback switch?
No, I don't. I
just for the record, because I wrote in my preview for Maryland, when they pulled Appleby, I think he had 7 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and that was against Marshall, Indiana State, and Bowling Green. And when they pulled, I think he played Virginia Tech, actually. He might have played 4 games. It was 7-6. Blau coming out of this game, and they threw a touchdown late, I think is at 6-6. 6 touchdowns, 6 picks. No, 7 picks.
I mean, it's possible, but I watched Etling last night with LSU where he had some nice touch on some passes. They said he was missing the deep ball with LSU, but at this point, who cares? I mean, you know, I'm not doing it. You're not doing anything. Could you go in and play quarterback?
Not for Daryl Hazel.
Hey, Rick's not doing anything. I mean, now you're getting to the point of just making a change to make a change, not for the betterment.
No, I agree. I mean, that's what it is.
And I mean, are you going to take if you take Blau and throw him under the bus or the train or whatever it is, is he damaged goods too? Because
he's transferring. If you
right, get, yeah. I think you work this out. And it's just to the point that I don't even want to talk about this going forward unless Purdue actually wins a game of meaningfulness. That'd be in the Big Ten. It's the only thing they could beat is FCS schools or bad
pretty
FBS
much.
Schools.
Pretty
I mean,
much.
That doesn't count anymore.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're so bad.
Okay, let's talk Bears then. I'm sure you had it down that you thought Brian Hoyer was going to throw for 300 yards and they were going to beat the Lions in a 17-14 game of all things.
The defensive battle really threw me, but it's just the way this Sunday's going in these games, because if I take a look at my fantasy team, and Hopkins, 1 catch, 4 yards.
DeAndre.
Whatever. It's Dustin right now until he gets more than 1 catch. I mean,
that's Osweiler's fault.
It's a joke, but I mean, no, I didn't see this where, but I mean, there was talk that Hoyer had a nice second half versus the Cowboys last week, and they did. I've seen some people recommend you could use Hoyer kind of as a streaming option. The Lions' defense isn't a hell of a lot better than the Bears' defense.
No. Well, Howard had a nice game, too.
We talked about him, and he was one of the guys I was thinking about trying to draft late in fantasy drafts, and he had a nice game. And last week, he had a nice game against the Cowboys. This week, he had a nice game. I mean, congratulations. You beat the Lions. I don't know what that means.
Here's a question for you, Pops. The Bears have a quarterback controversy.
No.
Because there's reports coming out that just because Cutler gets healthy doesn't mean he's just going to get the starting job back.
Hoyer doesn't have a future with the Bears. If you're going to do anything, Blair,
does
I'd
Cutler
like to
really
play
have
Matt
a future?
No, but he just let me finish, all right?
Oh, yeah.
If you're
coming
gonna,
from the king
if you're
of
going
defense.
To play anybody, I'd like to see Matt Barkley play.
Agreed.
Not Hoyer. I mean, I don't think that Cutler has a future with this team. This could very well be his last year. I mean, again, he got hurt, and we've been gone a couple weeks, and then it was his thumb. He pulled himself out, and of course, all the people that bitched at Cutler when he come out with the bad knee in the NFC Championship game are the same jackasses that are coming out saying, why is he pulling himself out? He can't throw the damn ball. I think it's pretty evident. But Gruden said something that maybe I agree with for the first time ever, that I think the Bears right. and Cutler maybe need a fresh start, and they probably do.
So do you think this is his last season in Chicago?
Yes. If this season's going to go right down the drain and the Bears are going to be about as competitive as Purdue, then you might as well just cut bait and move.
Agreed.
I mean, I don't know what...
I think it is.
I don't know what Pace is doing and thinking, but second half of the year, you're like 2-6, 2-7. You might as well let Barkley play.
I agree. Here's one for you, Pops. Once you put on your thinking cap... Did
Always
the
wear.
Bears make a mistake firing Lovie Smith? I think this question is a little bit tougher because, like, I had one for the Purdue. Clearly, Purdue messed up firing Hope. It looked like the right signing at the time when they signed Hazel. It was a mistake. But now that you have Fox and Fangio, who I would say is probably two of the most talented coaches that the Bears in history have ever had, but did they mess up firing Lovie Smith?
I think you could make that case, but I don't know where, if going forward, what were your options at general manager? Because you got rid of Angelo.
Yes.
Then you brought in Phil Boy Emery, who's a moron.
Yep.
And that was a power struggle. I don't think you can imagine that Lovie would still be here with Phil Emery because something would have to give. It would have been a power struggle. And what would have happened then is that Lovie would have won the power struggle because McCaskey's like both. But I think if there's a power struggle, they would have went with
Lovie
over Phil. And you saw how disastrous his tenureship was down with Tampa Bay when he was in charge of personnel. He's not a good personnel man.
No.
I think they made a mistake at the time. However, I think by now they probably would have been fired because I think this team is set up to fail because of all the bad draft picks, the draft picks that are no longer on this team. You gave Pace credit, Blair, the first year. I'm not for sure in his second draft where the hell the Bears are going. I think you made a mistake firing Lovey, but again, I don't think you'd. I think because if he'd win the power struggle, he would have been fired by now.
All right, here's another one for you, Pops.
Did I get that right?
I mean, I think you're probably right. I think with the way that Emery's tenureship went, I think you're not wrong in the fact that they both would have been gone by now anyway. And you, realistically, would you really have done anything in those few seasons of Lovey, who had a bad track record and not even getting to the playoffs to begin with? So, I mean, kind of just swapping draft picks at that point that they would have probably screwed up anyway.
Right.
So here's what for you, Pops. Bears get the first overall pick. Who you taking?
Well, you and I had this discussion when we went to the Cubs game, where you're talking the best available player is what, the defensive tackle from who?
Defensive end from Texas A&M, Miles Garrett, which is who I'm taking.
The problem is, I would have said Fournette, but now he's been injured on and off, and I think you probably hit the nail on the head with that one. And I don't want to say he's injury prone, but he's had a lot of usage in playing at LSU. So I think you go with the best available, and if it's the defensive tackle, you go to the defensive
he's
tackle.
Defensive end, Pops.
Whatever. The thing is, you need help everywhere.
Right.
I mean, if the number one guy is the guy that pops popcorn or cleans out the toilets there at Soldier Field, take him, because you need help everywhere.
All right, we'll come back to NFL. Let's do college football, though, first. How about that Louisville Clemson game, Pops? What do you take away from that? Because obviously that one had big implications.
I thought, Blair, and I think for a while, that Clemson was maybe going to put Louisville kind of back in their place, but I think you got to give Louisville a hell of a lot more credit. I predicted, and if we had a show last week, and I told this to myself, which is kind of phony baloney, but I thought Clemson was going to win this by at least 10, maybe 2 touchdowns. Louisville's real. They're real. And clearly now with Florida State spitting a bit and losing to North Carolina at home, which absolutely makes no sense to me at all, they are no longer a primetime player in this. It's going to come down to Louisville and Clemson.
Well, here's one for you, because I think we talked about this when we kind of, especially going into the first week, because you have all those crazy non-conference games. Doesn't it feel like this season's set up for chaos? Because, I mean, realistically, Clemson has to go to Florida State. You can't tell me you don't see a possibility of Clemson losing that one.
No, it could happen.
And, like, another one for another team that now is out of the playoff picture, Michigan State lost to IU,
of
course.
That's a bad loss. That's a terrible loss.
It's an awful loss. So now they're out of the playoffs, but they still get to run into Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah, Michigan State, a bad loss at home to Wisconsin, and they followed up with even a worse loss at Indiana.
Yes.
Okay, and here, this tells you the miles between. Indiana gets Kevin Wilson, they could beat Michigan State at home. Purdue plays Maryland, just gets rolled.
Yes.
God, the world's upside down that Indiana has a better football program than Purdue. But anyway,
there's a Hammer and Rails wrote an article that said that Kevin Wilson should thank Purdue, because a couple of those, they've won 3 straight buckets, which is what kept Kevin Wilson
4
in the job.
Yeah.
Because his record up until last season wasn't very good either.
Well, he had building to do. I mean, just as much as we thought that the one brick at a time thing that Hazel was saying here, Blair. But yeah, I think it's possible chaos. I think that the thought that you're going to get 2 teams from one conference is probably out the window. If Washington is legitimate, the Pac-12 could be back in this conversation. But I think right now, SEC, Big Ten, likely the ACC champion, and either Houston or the Pac-12 champion are going to be in. But, like you said, it's set up to where, let's say, Louisville loses again, and then they play Houston to beat them, or Clemson goes down to Florida State and lose, or Michigan State beats Michigan, who goes to
Ohio State. To Wisconsin, too.
Oh, or that, too. I mean, yeah, it could be one of those things where this committee, 12, 13, whatever the hell it is just going to be like, they're really going to have to earn their money. Because it could be just a big headache this year.
So here, give me your 4 right now. Obviously, we just completed, what is this, week 4 or week 5? No, week 5. So tell me right now, who are your 4?
Bama.
Right.
Clemson. What do you mean, right?
Duh.
Bama, Clemson.
What do you mean, right? Of course, if you don't have Bama, I don't know what your question is on that.
Well, I'm not like you're telling me if I'm right or wrong.
No, I'm agreeing.
What are you doing? Okay. Bama, Clemson. I'm still going Houston.
Okay.
And
one out of the Big Ten, right?
Begrudgingly, I'm sorry, Ohio State. Yeah, I don't know how I missed that one. Sorry.
Ohio State?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Clemson, Ohio State, Bama, and Houston. Now, the people up north from us would really be disappointed. And I thought about saying their name. And congratulations, you beat Wisconsin at home 14-7. But beat a meaningful team on the road, and then I will start saying your name. I know I keep changing
the parameter.
Well, screw them. I hate that
organization. It was a good
win. No, it's a good win. You're in the conversation. But the problem is, you know, like I said, you got to go to Wisconsin, you got to go to Iowa, you got to go to Michigan State, you got to go to Ohio State.
Yes, they do. And like I said, Ohio State, I don't know who they play this week, but Wisconsin has a bye. And
they
then,
don't go to Wisconsin. They go to Iowa. They already play Wisconsin. It's not a home and home. They go to Iowa. They go to Michigan State. They go to Ohio State.
Yeah, well, so Wisconsin gets a bye this upcoming Saturday, and then Ohio State goes up to Madison. So that's a big one, too.
Yes.
Here's another one for you, Pops. My beef is with you to have that school up north that uses a block letter.
Are we already to that point?
No,
in the
I'm
show?
Just I'm saying you use your school, you have a beef with a school that uses a block letter, right?
Yes.
I have a beef with a school that uses a block letter.
Okay.
We'll get to that later. But so Texas A&M has a big game coming this Saturday. I'll get to it as part of my beef.
Was that just a kind of a teaser?
Well, they play Texas A&M this Saturday.
Okay.
So Texas A&M, Pops, biggest threat to Alabama out of the SEC, especially with LSU going.
No, I think LSU will bounce back, Blair. And I'll get on what I think about Orgeron. I think LSU is going to be a. They've got too much talent. I know A&M is undefeated, but they really and they beat Arkansas. I'll give you that. But really, they haven't played anybody. I think it's pretty obvious that Wisconsin's a pretty good team. Now, granted, LSU should have beat them. But
yes.
I think they lost to at least a talented Auburn team. You could argue that. I think LSU will bounce back and be the second team in the SEC West.
I'm taking A&M. Your criticism of their lack of passing game is why I'm taking A&M.
Whose lack of passing game?
LSU's.
It's a work in progress.
That's what I said last week. You didn't want to agree with it.
We weren't here last week.
That's what I said the week before. You didn't want to agree with it.
I didn't say that.
You did too. Oh, man. Okay, so you think Louisville's real. Do you think that we'll get some chaos? Because we already talked about the matchups here. Odds are in favor, right, that Michigan will lose to a Michigan State or Ohio State or Ohio State will lose to Wisconsin.
So. It's possible.
Are you buying Washington?
No.
See, because I
buy the Apples, but I'm not buying the University
I think that Stanford was kind of exposed.
Yeah, Stanford's overrated. Wisconsin or Washington, here we go again. Washington had them at home, correct?
Yes, it was okay. In Washington.
So it was a big win, but I think the Pac-12 sucks. If you guys, anybody out in West wants to address any complaints, call 1-800. I don't give a shit. But seriously, the Pac-12 is not that good. I think, Blair, Washington could make a run to the playoffs, and they're going to need some help. Okay, because when they start turning to more of the divisional games or in the conference games,
right,
that's not going to help them.
No, because I think at this, well, Utah, I think, was the only other team besides Stanford in the Pac-12 that was ranked, and Utah right. lost at home.
Frankly,
to
they
Cal,
all
I
they're
think.
All ranked to me, but that and I don't necessarily mean you know like
so here this,
they all smell.
So if Washington runs the table and Houston runs the table, because Houston plays Louisville but doesn't really have anything else,
Houston.
You're taking Houston still?
Yes, Houston beat Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma will bounce back. And if Louisville's as good as they look, and they certainly are as good as they look, Blair, I think that's going to be a big, big game when Louisville plays Houston right after Thanksgiving.
It's like the second to last. Here's another scenario for you then. Let's say you have like Ohio State goes undefeated, and that's Michigan's only loss. Or let's say that Clemson and Louisville both run the table the rest of the way. Do you take a one-loss Michigan or Louisville over, like, a Washington?
Yeah, I think you take Louisville.
Yeah?
Yes.
Not Michigan?
No, I'm not taking that school up north. Now, granted, under your scenario, they would have beaten Michigan State.
Yes.
They would have beaten
their only loss would be Ohio
Iowa,
State.
And they would have lost to Ohio State. I'm sorry, that's going to hurt them. Because it looks to me, Blair, that Michigan State has all had an off year.
Well, so is Iowa.
Right. That's not going
to
help. That's not going
to
help their number. Whatever the hell that number is that the committee of 12 comes up. What do you call that? The composite number or the
strength and schedule?
Yeah. Well, that's a factor in. I mean, the totality of the number when you add them all together, it's not going to help that. But the thing is going to help the hairball in that school up north is the fact that it's hairball in the school up north.
So you're saying that basically Louisville has the strength of schedule with the one loss at Clemson versus Michigan, they'd have to don't have the strength of schedule is what you're telling me.
Okay, but yeah, Louisville's going to need to make sure that Florida State bounces back.
Right.
Clearly, Clemson keeps going on winning.
They'll have to beat Houston, obviously.
Now, Clemson, and then they need Houston to be going because I think that's going to be a massive. That's certainly going to be two top 10 teams. It could very well be.
So.
I don't think two top five teams, but it's going to be like a four and a five, or four or five versus a nine, eight or nine.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that. I want to talk about coaching vacancies because we were going to talk about last week, and then we've had people get canned. So Les Miles and Cam Cameron. Good call, wrong call.
Well, you could argue where, I mean, because I listened to the people on ESPN, and this is what the one Tyler always said to me. He's like, and I said, well, I'm going to go fire everybody. Tyler's like, who are you going to hire? And I was like, that's not my decision.
Todd Herman's, I called it after the Oklahoma win.
The problem is, I don't think so. The problem is where I think you kind of teased this when we had our quasi-show, pre-show meeting. There's going to be a lot of jobs open.
I think so.
USC certainly is.
For
like,
sure.
I think Charlie Strong is going to be whacked in Texas.
Oh, I think so, too.
Obviously, LSU.
Auburn, for sure,
possibly.
Is going to be open.
It depends what they do. But, yes, they could be open. And I don't think Kelly is as secure as you would think. Now, he whacked his defensive coordinator.
They're having a very bad season.
But they still gave up 33 to Syracuse. So, apparently, there's no D. They don't play any D in South Bend. So, it's Notre Dame, not because there's no
what do you think?
Here's
what for you. This one, a little bit more of a long shot. We'll see what happens because the Red River rivalry, in case you couldn't tell, it's been all over TV already. It's happening this week.
Yeah, that's what they do.
I hate it. Oklahoma, I think.
You're starting to sound like me as you get older. You're starting to hate more.
It's not even that important. Texas got beat. Did Texas beat Okie State or not?
No, they lost.
Okay, so they should both be on rank. So who gives a shit?
The people that sell advertising.
What do you think about the possibility that Oklahoma gets fed up with Stoops?
Possible.
I think for sure, though, Texas, USC.
I think he'll come back.
I think for sure Texas, USC, LSU, and Auburn will all be open, and those are top-level jobs.
I'm going to say LSU, Texas, and USC. Here's the thing, where I'm sitting there thinking about this.
Okay.
If you're Herman's,
right.
Okay, I think that if Texas comes open, he's going to do the Texas two-step and go from Houston to Austin.
I don't think so.
This is my scenario.
Okay.
And that leaves USC. Okay.
Wait, hold it. But before you finish, what if Houston joins the Big 12? Does that factor in at all? Because they're in the finals. Does that change that? Because that's kind of, then that's more of a no-no because now they're in the same conference.
I think it's not necessarily a no-no. It'd be
okay,
more
it's
kind
frowned
of,
upon.
Right, but I think, yeah, from college football, let's talk about ethics, right?
I don't see it, but okay.
No, I think Texas has more money, could recruit better, has all...
Than LSU?
If Herman's is looking at Houston at Texas, you're weighing what he can do at Texas versus what he can do at Houston. Look, he's done a hell of a job, okay? But if Texas is available, I think he takes the Texas job.
I don't think so, but okay.
I think Texas is more appealing than LSU.
So I don't agree, but okay. So then where does Petrino go? Because I think he's saying all the right things behind in front of the reporters. Oh, Louisville gave him my start. But I think you and I are in agreement here. He's not staying at Louisville.
I can't imagine. I think he goes to USC.
Yeah?
Do me a favor, Lynn Swan. I don't think you're worth a shit as a AD, but they hired you because apparently they can't go outside of the USC family. Stop hiring people that come from the Pete Carroll tree. It's not working, okay?
No.
Because Heatley is, in essence, off the Pete Carroll tree because he was under Sarkisian, whatever his name is.
Helton,
whatever. Okay, so I think Petrino could be the type, and it's perfect. They need someone to shake things up, and I think Petrino goes to USC.
Here's another one for you that I think is a possibility to open up depending on how conference play shakes out. I think the Oregon job might open up.
Possible.
Because that guy is really just...
Yeah.
Since Chip, he had that one season right after Chip Kelly left where they got to the national championship, and they have just nosedived.
That's Chippy's guys.
Yeah.
I think, Blair, this is what's going to happen at LSU. Orgeron, he was 6-2 when he took over for Lane Kiffin, who got whacked on the plane. And
oh, he was at U. Oh, right. Yeah. He's the defensive coordinator, right?
He got passed up because they couldn't stop hiring Pete Carroll's guys, and they hired Sarkisian and all his beer he brought.
Yes.
So Orgeron, 6-2, won his first game 7-2. Everybody talked about how LSU just played with a hell of a lot more enthusiasm. I think people get tired of coaches after a while. They had 18 first downs, and granted, it's Missouri. I got that. They had 18 first downs in the first half. When's the last time LSU had 18 first downs in a game?
I don't know. Never.
My prediction is this. LSU goes on, wins 10 games this year in totality, wins their bowl game, and Orgeron gets hired to coach or stay at LSU.
Okay.
Guy's a hell of a recruiter.
I'm not going to rule that out. I think that's a possibility.
Guy's a hell of a recruiter. He even got Warren Sapp, and he was down at Miami recruiting under Erickson.
That's a
good place to be. He recruited at USC. This is one of the reasons that LSU's had a top five recruiting class this past year.
I remember
people
that's
are
why
crediting
they hired him.
People crediting Miles. You ought to take a look at Orgeron, who's a hell of a recruiter.
Do you think that Miles will coach next season?
Yes, I think there's going to be too many jobs available, and I think someone's going to want him. He's not really done anything egregious other than the fact he has to beat Alabama. And
there's a lot of people that
I got a list longer than my hand, an arm, as people can't eat about Alabama. People talk about the lack of internal control. I don't know if this really coming across from on the police bladder as far, and they've got some, but nothing more, Blair, that stands out. You could talk about Tyrann Mathieu and that situation. But Miles kicked him off the program when he couldn't stay away from the old Tootsie Rootsie there.
Right.
So I think Miles will get a job.
In your scenario, you have Petrino going to USC, and you have
Herman's
going to Texas. So where does he go? I don't think he's jumping over to Auburn.
No, he won't go back to the SEC.
I don't think he'll take this. I think the Penn State job might open up too. While we're talking
it's
about
possible.
Jobs,
I could also see. And people, you know, here's the other thing too. But I think Jimbo Fisher, Florida State might decide to exit stage right. He could be out going to USC too. That's what another guy would think. If that's the case, then I could.
You think
see,
he'd leave Florida State for USC?
I think USC is a better overall program than Florida State. Yes,
I don't agree with that.
The recruiting is not quite as good, but there's no competition out there. They have all sorts of money, and you could sell recruits kind of like Pete Carroll did on coming out to Hollywood. So I could see Jimbo Fisher leaving Florida State, realizing the party's over, et cetera, et cetera. No, I'm saying it's possible. He'd go to USC. Petrino could go to Florida State. If my prediction of where Miles goes...
Because you're filling up all the top jobs, and I agree. I don't think he goes back to the SEC.
I think the idiots at Penn State... probably will have had their fill with Franklin, and I think Miles might go there.
I got another name to throw out, Pops, because I don't see Fisher leaving FSU, but with all these top jobs coming open, people should probably keep an eye on D'Antoni, or D'Antonio, however you pronounce it,
D'Antonio.
Michigan State guy, because he's done at them.
That's a good point, Blair. He runs a clean program. He obviously can coach. The recruiting is an issue, but you could make the point that he's recruiting versus Ohio State, the school up north, which is actually south of him.
Right.
And the other school further south of him, Notre Dame. So it's not exactly easy recruiting in that area. So, yeah, I think he could go somewhere. I just don't know. Is he a big enough name as opposed to Petrino or Fisher or, you know, Hermans or anything of those guys? I don't know.
I don't know if he would leapfrog those guys. I'm just saying we're talking about a lot of potential jobs coming up, and I think that you could make the argument that he's gotten a lot out of his players without the top recruiting. So if he goes to a more named program,
Texas,
what's he going to do with more
USC,
talent?
Those are better programs overall, better potential there than Michigan State. As good as Michigan State has been, he could do more at Texas. He could do more at USC. Possibly Florida State, but it depends. I mean, but at the very least, because there's talk that LSU wants Jimbo Fisher because he coached there.
Right.
Okay, that's great. You know, I wore a Florida State shirt. Damn. Does that qualify me to go down there and coach Florida State?
I just don't see him leaving Florida State. I think FSU's one of the premier programs.
I don't see him leaving it for LSU. I still think, Blair, if I'm ranking programs potential, I think Texas and USC is ahead of LSU. It's not by a lot, but I think they're more...
that has more so to do with Alabama
US,
being
right,
division.
USC is a sleeping giant because you saw what Pete Carroll did.
Yeah.
And I think
because you said
get a good coach out there. The conference stinks.
LA's a good recruiting area.
Yes,
California especially.
Right. A lot of good players out there. Hollywood is beckoning right there. Warm weather, all the stuff you want. Texas too. They've got all sorts of money. They just don't know how to hire a good coach.
Yes. Okay. Food for thought. I like this. Let's talk NFL. I got questions for you. We were talking about last week. So AP's hurt. Or was hurt.
Right.
That happened before. Question is, do you think he's done? Is it a career for this
guy?
No,
I think this guy's ego, Blair, will not let him quit again. He won't. I mean, he might be back. He might not be back. I don't know. But I can't imagine his ego is going to let him to say he's going to be the type that you're going to have to release him because I don't think I don't necessarily think that he's going to be able to say, I'm done. I need to move on.
Let me throw this on top then. Do you think this is the last season of the Vikings? Because he makes something absurd like $12 million next season. And he's on the other side of 30. This is his second major. Well, I don't know if the meniscus is major, but it's another knee injury. Is this his last season in Minnesota?
I would think that, yes. I think it should be. Now, I honestly don't know if that's what they're thinking, simply because they love this guy, despite the fact of what he was doing and getting in trouble last year. Obviously, we've been wrong on Sam Bradford, and yeah. he's made Kyle Rudolph, or Rudolph, look relevant again. I mean, and if the people like McKinnon, I'm not crazy about the receivers outside of Diggs. I mean, they could really go fine, but I think with that defense, they're going to be relevant. And it's obviously, Green Bay Blair is not as good as people thought. Granted, they won, but I think they've got a lot of holes. I think, you could move on and spend your money elsewhere. I would think so. However, I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
No, I agree. I think that I agree. Actually, I agree 100% with both your points. I think that his ego will mean that he comes back, and I also agree that I think that you could spend that money elsewhere. Because speaking from a fantasy perspective, when AP was out, was that 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
Because he played last season. McKinnon and Asiata were a decent combination, and that was Bridgewater's rookie season, I think. So it's not like they had, even up until really this season, it's not like Minnesota had a passing game at all to really take the pressure off the running game. So the fact that they were able to have some decent production, I think, says that they're a decent tandem, in my opinion.
Right, and I think that they've proven also they're doing a pretty good job of drafting.
Well, the defense is, I mean.
Right, they just need to be able to figure out the offensive side. And by all indications, I don't know. It's kind of like the Mets. The Mets could go out and find pitching, but boy, when it comes to finding bats, they're just lost. And it's same with Minnesota. They could obviously locate guys in the draft that play good defense, but as far as on the offensive side, they just seem lost. If you get rid of Peterson, I think a lot of his contract is not dead money. So I think you could save a lot of money. I think you could go out and find somebody that could plug in and then maybe draft some guys. I think it probably should be. Again, is anybody in the Minnesota front office in kind of a hero worship with the purple Jesus?
No, I don't think so. I think that they, well, we'll see. I think it's his last season. Here's another one for you, Pop. So we just completed week 4, or we're near the end of week 4. We just got basically Sunday night and the Monday night game left. Tom Brady comes back next week. How many more seasons do you think Tom Brady plays? Now, everybody's expecting this season one of those classic Patriots FU seasons where, of course, they get shut out by the Bills. Everyone predicted that in those first 4 games that the 3-1 was going to be to Buffalo.
This year, next year, I think he's done after next year.
So two seasons?
I know he wants to play till he's whatever, but I don't think that's really feasible.
History shows after 40 that.
Well, I've been saying that about David Ortiz, but I think he's probably taking a little bit of help. But same with Bartolo Colon, where he's 43 or 44, and he's still throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. I'm not saying Brady's cheating, but he continues to defy what from the scientific standpoint, you would think at this point he'd be done. He certainly doesn't look done to me. I mean, we'll see when he comes back, but he's going to be really honked off to want to stick it to the NFL.
Yes.
I think this year or next year.
Okay, so the other side of that coin then is what do the Patriots do with the quarterback situation? Because if he plays the 2 seasons, like you said, I think that going into that offseason would be Jimmy G's rookie contract would be expired. And then Brissett, who has, I think, looked decent for being a rookie this year. I mean, what do they do? Do they re-sign Jimmy G? Because he had this short stint these first 2 games that I think if Osweiler can get the money he did for not looking nearly as good, granted a bigger sample size, there's like 7 games, I think he's going to want some more money. Or did they trade him in year 3 and roll with Brissett?
Yes, I think they trade him this offseason.
They trade Jimmy G this offseason?
Yeah, they trade Garoppolo this year because there'll always be some idiot out there like Cleveland,
Chicago,
San Francisco, the Bears,
Chicago,
that overvalue a quarterback, and they think, boy, if Belichick likes him, boy, we're in love with him because that's just how it's gone. So I think somebody will overpay for him this offseason.
I think I can see that. Do you believe that he is an NFL starting quarterback? I know it's a small sample size.
Yes, but on the flip side, I don't think necessarily he could be Brady-like. I think he's going to be more like an Alex Smith type to where he's going to need a lot of help. He can't do this on his own. And I hate to say game manager, but a game manager plus.
So in your scenario, Brady is done after the 2017-2018 season, right?
Yes.
And then, so then you're going to hand the reins to Jacoby Brissett, apparently. In your
Unless
scenario.
They draft another quarterback. If they trade Blair Garoppolo, they could turn around and draft another quarterback.
Yeah, that's true.
And get this and then develop him and then flip Brissett next year because I think Brissett's at least shown you Granted, they got shut out in week four, but I think he's in his play in just 5 days' time in the Thursday night game might have opened some eyes. Granted, you could talk to coaching, and you're right, but he does have talent.
Agreed.
That's okay. Tyler's guy, right?
Yeah, well, that's a lot of people had him as one of the higher-rated quarterbacks coming out of NC State, and I think it had to do with the system he ran. I think he ran a more pro system, so they had him as someone pegged to be more pro-ready. Speaking of pro-ready, let's talk Cowboys then. Tony Romo comes back. Are you going to be a starter?
I can't imagine that Jerry, who's an egotistical moron as much as anybody else and is in love with Romo,
right,
is going to say, yes, we'll go with the rookie. I think they'll give Romo a chance, and however, if he looks like rubbish, which I think he could, then I think it's Prescott's, and then they'll just release Romo. This is what they should do, okay? Then they should release Romo at the end of the year. The problem is Jerry Jones loves Tony Romo.
See, because I agree with your second statement. And I don't disagree with your first statement because, let's be honest, Jerry Jones has way more pull than he should. So, yeah, I could see that. But I think if the team is mildly successful and you're in playoff contention, you shouldn't shake up that chemistry.
Agreed.
But I agree with you. I think this is Tony Romo's last season at Dallas because I think Prescott's already shown you enough that you might as well just roll the dice with him because especially since Dallas is a team that always has cap issues, get rid of that big contract.
Right, I agree. But again, this is another situation where they're like Minnesota. I don't know if Jones could really do anything like that because he thinks he knows more than everybody else, and he doesn't. He's proven as far as being a talent of an evaluator of football players. He's not very good at it, but he still has a job because he owns a damn team.
Yeah. Well, he knows how to make money. He just doesn't know how to
that's
make football
fine,
decisions.
But that's completely separate from, like, making football decisions.
Here's another one for you, Pops. We're talking all quarterbacks apparently right now. Did Cleveland screw up not taking Wentz?
Certainly looks like it. But this Kessler's looked decent, Blair. And
that's true.
They've certainly proved. I don't know what the hell to think about Gordon. There's people going back and forth thinking he won't be back. He will be back. But between Coleman and Terrell Pryor, it looks like you got a nice set of weapons.
Right.
Crowell is starting to come on.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going
another
on.
Another good game again today.
I don't know what's going on with Barney, but he had a decent game. I think you're starting to get some players there. So I think you could make the case that they screwed up. I think the Rams screwed up in not taking Wentz. I mean, you talk about egotistical jackasses.
Okay.
That's Fisher out there.
Yeah.
And thinking, yes, we'll give you half of everything in California to get this guy so he could, like, be the third quarterback and not even be active. You don't pay that much. This is a former beef that I wanted to do. I never got around to him. You people in L.A. are stupid.
Beef. I hate Fisher, too. You go ahead.
You people in L.A. are idiots if you support this team because Fisher should have been fired years ago.
Yes, he should
have.
He's
making football decisions simply because he's really the guy that's in charge. He hired his own GM, but in essence, Fisher plays a role in all the personnel decisions. He's an idiot. You don't give all this away so Goff is your second or third quarterback who can't even get off the damn bench.
I think I'd agree with it because for the Cleveland thing, I think I'd understand because I think Cleveland's sentiment was we're not going to, because we've had such bad luck with quarterbacks, we're not going to spend high draft pick on a quarterback just to put him in a system or put him in a situation where he's going to fail because we don't have the talent around him. So I think that was their thinking. L.A., I'm with you. They were supposed to try and win a championship, and they supposedly took Goff because they thought he was more pro-ready, and that one hadn't worked out yet.
The problem there with this thought of Cleveland, it sounds like the Jerry Morangelo thinking, I don't want to draft in the first round because I'm likely to screw it up, so here, I'll give an away first-round draft pick to the first person who walks through the door, and it might be the janitor. Here's the first-round draft pick. You can't be afraid to make a pick, and if you believe in this new organization, and I don't know who that is, Sasha Brown?
That guy, Dee Podesta,
didn't know anything about football, are making the picks. I just, you can't be afraid to make the picks. I mean, we'll see. Check back in 5 years because Cleveland has a bounty of draft picks, but as I've said so many times, and I'll say it again, Jimmy Johnson said this. Doesn't matter how many draft picks you have, it really depends what you do with them.
Yes. I don't think they were afraid to, but I think it makes sense. They've gone through so many quarterbacks, so why not roll the dice with RG3 and McCown, who then both got hurt, while you try to figure out how to put talent around so when the quarterback is found or you found a guy that you really like, he's put in a system where you know that he has talent around him.
I suppose. I mean, you know, the thinking in Cleveland is let's try something else because what we've been doing doesn't work. You could make that case, but we'll see.
So you're willing to criticize L.A. more for the Wentz thing than Cleveland.
You can't, Blair. If you think you're a playoff team and only you think you're a playoff team, but if you're convinced you're a playoff team and you think you're a quarterback short, you can't trade You can't trade all of what you did to have this guy not even active in the first game. That says you screwed up. Because if you gave all this, you have to win now. Because Fisher can't not win now, this year, next year, come back. I don't think he'll be here that long. Not to mention, most of the people saying if you don't win in L.A., the fans are going to just turn away because there are so many more other things to do.
It is the second biggest city.
Right. If you're going to – let's also face it. The track record of drafting is such that you can't – you're giving away picks, which means you have less picks, which means you're going to have to be more right on the picks. You can't draft in volume.
And look at what they did for the bounty they got with the RG3 trade.
They didn't really do anything. No. So – you're giving up all this to get Goff so he could be your third-string quarterback. Congratulations.
Nailed it.
You're an idiot.
Nailed it. All right, let's talk baseball here. So Cubs, Pops, they clinched home field throughout the NL.
Yes.
The AL did win the World Series. I got a question.
All-star game.
That's what I'm – sorry. Yes, apologies. All-star game. So
World
the
Series.
AL has home field throughout the whole playoffs.
Is that yes?
So here's my question for you. I actually came across an article, and I wanted to pose it to you. Which move, and I don't mean like personnel move, because obviously Epstein and Hoyer and them would be number one, but which player addition would you consider the most important addition towards the Cubs going from where they were at the bottom of the basement to favorites to get to at least a World Series and possibly win a title this year?
Chris Bryant.
Just Chris Bryant? I'm surprised you picked that.
Look,
you want to tell me why?
He was advertised where as just not only being it, but being it plus. As good as Rizzo is, Bryant has so much more potential. You could arguably say this guy's a 40 home run guy, 100 RBIs, hit 300, play defense. The guy's so damn versatile. He's played what?
Left field.
Left. I think he played shortstop, played first. He played left, played
I think
right.
He played shortstop.
I think he came in a couple times and played shortstop when they're in a pinch. This guy's so damn versatile. He's such a good hitter. He's a good guy, as far as I know. He's a good guy. No, seriously. I mean,
no,
you have
no.
to qualify that nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's a good guy. And I think when he come up, it seems like they started to take off. You could say that with Schwarber, but I think before you could bat or you could pitch your way around Rizzo. You can't do that right now. If you pitch your way around Rizzo, there's Brian gone. And this guy is just only going to continue to get better. I don't think anyone thought that his second season he was going to hit 339 home runs, 100 and some RBIs, and blah, blah, and all that stuff. He's only going to get better. And how much better is he going to get?
I guess I understand. My pick was Rizzo, just because a big part of it is because he's the first guy on. But I think that his leadership, especially with Bryant, because I don't know if you've seen, but it seems like those two are always together when the games are going on. So what a great guy for Bryant to be able to, you know, pick his brain. But I would pick Rizzo because of his leadership and the fact that he was one of the first pillars, because I think you're telling a completely different story if Rizzo isn't what he is now. Like, if he was just an average player as opposed to like up there as a possible MVP candidate, then you're still trying to figure something out as opposed to Rizzo was the first pillar towards being built towards a World Series contender. So my pick is Rizzo.
You make a point. I mean, but I think
I make a point. Thank you.
I mean, you make a good point. But I think where the Cubs were one thing, but as soon as they got Bryant, they've turned into what they are now.
No, I understand that.
I can't say that it's just solely on Bryant, but he might be a reason that Lester chose, or both of them being there. Because I don't know because you took off so much, and Schwarber too. But there's possibility that if Bryant doesn't come up, I don't know if you get Lester or if Bryant's not there, you could just, because I knew he knew that Lester and Rizzo know each other from the Boston organization. I just think the potential there for Bryant, I think, is over. And I think you're right. Rizzo is the leader of the team. But however, I think the best player on the team is probably Bryant.
I think I'd agree with that. So are you, because so the we talked about this a little bit. It's been kind of not as important, obviously, because it's an off-season decision. But the Twins are looking to hire a new GM staff. And so
they already got one.
There was reports. So they were going to have Cubs guys, and then Hoyer, Epstein, and McLeod all signed five-year extensions. Five-year extensions. So they're not going anywhere. But are you worried? Because I'm worried about the potential of other important staff members leaving, because MLB trade rumors, I think it was last week, posted a pretty good article that highlighted some of the other guys underneath those three that are still way up when it comes to the scouting that says that
in MLB circles, they're all, I mean, there's GMs in that room besides the three that I mentioned.
Look,
the brain trust.
They're gathering people, Blair. This is a bevy of really very intelligent, very, very well prepared, some of the better minds in baseball. And it's like kind of what the Dodgers have been doing when they got
Friedman.
Yes, he's president of the team. Yeah, they're going to lose some people, but I think if you keep the top three guys, I think you have to take a look at it from what you've seen with Belichick in New England. Everybody's thinking, oh, if I'm going to get Charlie Weiss, or if I go get Romeo Crennel, if I go get Josh McDaniel. Well, the main thing is you still got the best mind in the business there. And with Cubs, it's still Epstein, Hoyer, and McLeod. And we've seen how that works. They could go out and get some guys, but those three guys have the last say in decision. So as long as they stay there, you would assume that they're going to be there each and every October for the next several years.
Do you think, I think we're in agreement that at some point we think McLeod will move on for a GM job. Do you think at some point we'll see, before Epstein leaves, we'll see Hoyer go for like the president, or do you think we'll see him stick with Epstein until Epstein's done?
I think that these guys stay together, bro. I think
all
Epstein moves on, Hoyer becomes president, McLeod becomes GM. That's my guess as to why you link up all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, they're already, it's like what I think with Lane Kiffin. I think eventually he's going to stay at USC and become the head coach for Saban, and Sarkisian is his OC, so he could rehab his image. That's just the way it looks to me. It's the same thing with the Cubs.
Okay, that makes sense to me. The other question I would ask you is, so Texas has home field throughout the AL.
Yes.
For those playoffs, and again, AL has home field for the World Series. Are you picking Texas? Because I got to tell you, I think the biggest threat for the World Series out of the AL, in my opinion, to the Cubs' chances to win this year is Boston.
Okay, am I picking Texas for what?
To get to the World Series.
Yeah, that's been my pick. I thought maybe you were going to ask which state you want to kick out of the Union, and Texas is in my top five. But anyway, I think we're talking about going to the series.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that they come in. I think they've got the offense, and I think that the pitching is good enough. Boston is going to be a pain. I'll give you that. But I think Boston's got bullpen issues. Kimbrel has been a disappointment, and I think they don't have the depth in the bullpen such as that Texas does. And I think the offenses are good. You might give a slight edge to Boston. The pitching, I think I give a slight edge to Texas, because I know the Porcello has had a really good year. What the hell's he done in the playoffs? Not much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I like Hamels and Darvish Blair over Price
and Porcello.
And I think I think Eduardo Rodriguez is the number three for Boston, and the number three for Texas is supposed to be Colby Lewis, I think, right?
Sure. I don't know.
It's not the best of pitchings, but you're going to have to make do. So I think it should be a good series. I take Texas coming out.
Texas. Okay. I think Boston's gotten hot at the right time. So I'm taking Boston to get to the World Series, in my opinion.
Okay. You realize that the White Sox are going to replace Robin Ventura with Rick Renteria, because apparently the White Sox are afraid to make a good baseball decision. I don't really get this. He had 2 years with the Cubs managing. Did you see anything, Blair, that make you think he's going to be a good manager?
No, I think that, well, you,
other than the fact he's bilingual.
Castro had the bounce back under Renteria, didn't he? Because Swain kind of ruined him.
That's before, but no, Renteria was before Swain.
Oh, was he?
Yes, that's kind of when the thought that they
no,
let
Castro. No, the other way around. No. They had Renteria for just a few seasons. They hired Madden, and then Tampa was crying foul. It was Renteria after Swain, because they went from the hard guy to the player's coach.
Okay, well, anyhow, I just don't think, Blair, that I don't understand this. It's almost like whoever's pulling strings doesn't want to make a tough decision, so let's make the easy one. And you go from Ventura, who I don't even know, to Renteria. This is just...
So basically, they're going to stink.
Why do you believe in this team?
I don't know. Why are we still consider ourselves fans of Purdue?
I don't know. I keep asking myself that every Saturday night.
Do you get to Saturday night? I mean, I got to halftime this week, and even that was generous.
Well, I have something to laugh at before I start realizing that I graduated from there. Then I start thinking, why do I root for this team?
Right. Well, as I told Tyler, I said, I want to go to graduate school somewhere else just so I can have another team to cheer for.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do beef. It's our segment where we got beef.
Where's the the beef?
Who you got beef with, Pops?
You and I have talked, and this is be the first time in I don't know how many weeks we haven't had anything to do with athletes protesting something.
Yes.
But I have a beef with somebody for protesting something.
Oh, geez.
We know that Joakim Noah is not exactly the smartest guy in the world. Granted, he seems to be a little bit smarter than Derrick Rose, but the nickelheads or the knuckleheads are training at the United States Military Academy at West Point.
Okay.
So this past week, they thought it'd be nice if the knuckleheads and all the front office sat down and had dinner with the cadets. One person didn't show up. Joakim Noah. And why is it, you say, did he not show up? He has a problem with all the people being killed in the world by soldiers. Now, I don't really get this because it's striking me that these protests right now are now, these are copycat protests. But to me, this means even less than when the ones we were talking about with Megan Rapinoe and Adam Jones and whatever else. Because why is it you don't have any thought of anybody killing anybody? Because we've been in Afghanistan since 2001. We've been in Iraq since 2003. Uh-huh. And you wait till 16 years later to say, damn it, I'm not happy about this. Noah is not what the player used to be. He's 3 years removed from an all-star game appearance, right?
Sounds right.
Okay, he's on the back end of his career. Apparently the Knicks had so much room available that they decided not just to overpay him, but overpay him plus. And now it seems like this is nothing more than an effort to get attention to a guy that nobody really pays attention to much now. I don't understand the thinking here. I don't understand the logic. I don't know why you'd have issue with cadets. These cadets haven't killed anybody. If you want to go complain to somebody, go complain to the people in Washington making the decisions to send the guys. Don't take it out on the guys. That's the same crap and reason people use against a soldier coming back from Vietnam. But beyond this, this is completely disingenuous by a guy that I don't think is that smart. And whether this means anything or not, and let me see if I could cheese off another country, his dad's from France. So is this, to me, this is like French-type thinking, which means other than cooking food, shut up. So Noah, the next time you have a good thought will be the first time you had a good thought. So until then, shut up and go play basketball.
I bet they had beef. Okay, my beef, Kirk Herbstreit. So, Pops, you will not say the name of Michigan. Kirk Herbstreit was quoted as saying, exactly, school up north. Kirk Herbstreit was quoted as saying during the Louisville-Clemson game that he for sure thinks in the Big Ten it's Ohio State and everybody else. He 100% said that. And
you wonder why.
Right? And I know you're not supporting them. You're not even going to say their name. But can we at least agree that Michigan is in the conversation here? You can't just dismiss them.
I would think after beating Wisconsin, yeah, they're in a conversation.
So that's my first one. And my second one is with game day. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Pops, but the general idea of game day is that they're supposed to go all over the country. You're not really supposed to see the same team more than once.
In theory.
Right?
But the Thursday night game, Blair, if you watched it, brought to you by the NFL, who's now screwing people because it's October and it's pink and we have to make more money, was the
Miami. They don't donate.
Miami and the Bungles. So I think the decision-making is such that it doesn't make a difference. You would think that they should put the best games on. It's not the case. The same thing with game day. I can't watch that show now. It sucks.
Game day is awful, but we're in agreement here that they probably shouldn't see the same team really more than once.
No, this almost seems like they have ties to the Tennessee Athletic Program.
Right. So let me explain here before you just hijack my beef.
Well, hold on. And they're trying to promote the damn team.
Apparently, because they went to Bristol. And that I sort of understand because week two was garbage. There were really no good games on. So that was Tennessee, Virginia Tech.
Yes.
Then they had to go to Tennessee and Florida.
They didn't have to, but they did.
So they went to Knoxville and they went to Bristol.
Yes.
And this week, Tennessee goes to Texas A&M and they're going to Texas A&M, which means game day has seen at Tennessee 3 of the last 4 weeks.
The problem is where they garner more and more stupid people who watch that program. And it's taken from what it used to be, which was a good hour show with some good insightful thoughts, to now that to me they're a caricature of what they used to be, which suggests that they suck and they're just irrelevant. It's now just nothing more than a promotional tool for ESPN to say what program or what football game we're going to have on TV.
So here's two games that I would consider over this Texas, and I like Texas A&M, but here's two other.
I don't.
Florida State goes to Miami.
Okay.
Both top 25. Alabama goes to Arkansas. What's wrong with that one?
No, have they been to Arkansas?
No. I don't know when the last time they'd ever consider going to Arkansas was.
When Arkansas played A&M, were they at that game?
No, because it was in the Jerry Dome.
Right.
That was 2 weeks ago. They were in Knoxville against Florida.
Oh, they can't. So apparently they're based in Tennessee.
Yeah. When, what's worse, too, is that I think Alabama goes to Tennessee next week. So conveniently, they're going to show up in Knoxville again if Tennessee wins.
No, they're not going to show up. They moved their headquarters there.
Apparently.
You didn't realize where Bristol wasn't in Connecticut. It's in Tennessee. Look, I don't know. I don't care. I understand your frustration, but I think the fact...
This might be... I hate Tennessee just like you hate Michigan. I'm sick of them. I'm so mad that Florida didn't beat them, and then that Georgia blew that one, too.
Unfortunately, they're hanging around, so so you need somebody to knock them off so you take them up, take you
so
out
much.
Of your quasi-misery.
Texas A&M, please.
Look, Game Day Blair used to be relevant. It isn't. And I don't... Frankly, again, they could knock on my door and say, hey, we would like to do this right in your front yard. I'd be... Okay,
well, that's what's,
I'm not going to be at home.
That's what
I wouldn't even watch them, to be honest with you.
That's what's so dumb about it, because so I know that you have the conference networks now, which makes it easier to see conferences.
Yes.
But I thought the whole point of that was to promote big games, but also to try and get some teams on TV that, like, you don't normally see.
I think the problem is, whereas ESPN is partnered with the SEC network, so if they're constantly following Tennessee around... They're in a really in a slick way, but really not a slick way. They're trying to further promote the SEC, which I don't really think it needs to be promoted.
No.
But they're trying to.
But we could agree here. I think you and I are in agreement. Tennessee's one of those programs that people, like the stupid people in college football, think needs to be good because it makes football better if Tennessee's a good program. Like the same way that people want Notre Dame to be good in general, you know what I mean? College football thinks that has to be a program that's up because it makes the team, it makes the product better. Even though I don't care. I really hope they lose the rest of their games because I'm sick of them.
How do you really feel?
I hate Tennessee. I'm against them 100%.
Okay, so we're ready to kick Texas and Tennessee out of the Union.
I want Tennessee to lose so much.
I don't know, but I've given up. The last time I watched that with any meaningfulness was 5 years ago, because it's just turned out from something I used to like to right now. I think it sucks.
So game day went to LSU Wisconsin, which we can agree was a right choice. That was week one. They then went to Bristol, which I'll give them a pass on that because the week two schedule was garbage.
Mm-hmm.
They picked Tennessee and Florida, which I thought was stupid. Then they picked Louisville Clemson. That was the right choice. So apparently every other week they got to go to Tennessee. Because, I mean, you had Michigan and Wisconsin. I think that was a game you could have chose. What about Ohio State-Oklahoma? That game was definitely worth picking.
That was probably the one to go to.
I mean, seriously? Like, they're passing games.
You sound like your voice
I hate game
up.
Day. I despise
really
Kirk Herbstreit.
I don't like
Herbstreit
either.
He's an enemy of college football.
He's an idiot of college football.
He's not an enemy of college football. His Ohio State comment is, you could not be more biased in that comment.
He's a homer. I mean, there's no. I mean, he tries to not to play it, but the fact of the matter is, he's an Ohio State idiot.
He is.
I hate
because
Ohio
I don't know how you just dismiss Michigan. Even you have to admit that there's a conversation there. You got to see
no,
that one
conversation.
Play out.
Look, I don't necessarily dislike Ohio State. I just like the alumni because they're just loudmouthed idiots.
Yeah. Okay, y'all beefed out.
I'm asking you. Are you okay? Maybe you want to take five seconds.
I despise game day in Tennessee.
Maybe just sit there and catch your breath.
Let's have Michigan and Tennessee play each other and they both lose.
I'm with you.
Okay. So, we did this last week or 2 weeks ago, and I like this. Give me your pick for the Sunday night and Monday night game. Is it in Kansas City? It's Pittsburgh and KC tonight.
Pittsburgh.
It's in Pittsburgh. So KC at Pitt.
Pittsburgh.
And then
Vikings.
Vikings.
I don't
at
think
New
the
York.
Giants will get anywhere close to the, I've got Eli Manning, Blair, and I was telling somebody at work. I said this smells of about a four interception game where Eli looks in the camera and goes, has that look on his face like, what? I think Minnesota looks legit because of their defense, and Bradford is better than I thought, so I'll withhold any snarky remarks going forward. And I think Pittsburgh, Jamal Charles comes back, we'll see what he does, but I think Pittsburgh.
Because you
needs
had it in the script that, you know, Pittsburgh goes to Philly last week and only scores three, right? That's
sure.
what you were calling for?
Right, like just like I thought Dustin Hoffman of Houston only has one catch for 4 yards.
Is it me or does it seem like the NFL is even more unpredictable this season?
Did you see that one that there was a Matthew Brady kind of went off and like he looked so like out of sorts, Barbara, because he named all six or seven guys last week. Is it? Why can't you guys just do
Matthew
what
Barry.
You? Why can't you guys just do it? At least what we think you're going to do. I second that idea. I'm like I don't know what to tell you about fantasy.
Who would have picked? Who would have picked on the short week? Jacoby Brissett and the Patriots beat Houston by 27. Then they go to Buffalo and they get blanked.
I mean, who would have called that?
No effing clue.
Right.
I mean, it's...
I'm with you.
No effing clue. Rick, any thoughts of football or... No? I don't think any of us have any... I don't think... No, I mean fantasy football. I don't think any of us really know what to make of this.
No,
to be honest with you.
It's
I don't
bad.
Know. I just...
Exactly. Exactly.
That's my thoughts right there.
All right, so check out the blog, of course, because we'll have our top 10 up. The pick-ems we do each week, starts and sits, waiver claims, all up on the blog. And that's what's – we'd have top 10 probably up either tonight or tomorrow, and then we'll have all that stuff going throughout the week. So 3sportsguns.com. Thank you to our on-site producer, Rick Mason. We're in partnership with My Retro Radio. It's the Brushback Pitches podcast presented by 3sportsguns and Two Guys. There's Blair.
Darryl.
We'll catch you next week.
Join us next time for the Brushback Pitches. Find us online at 3sportsguns.com. That's the number 3sportsguns.com. This has been a Gunther Sports and Entertainment production in association with My Retro Radio.